children, there are children's bags at each of our tables to encourage you during our time of study in the Word of God, some activities and some Bible lessons in there. And this is a time to, you can get those out. And as you listen in, also enjoy those. There is a youth activity later on today. If you need details on that, please see me. Mark chapter 7, if you'll find your scripture, and we'll begin. All right, can you hear me over here? Can you hear me over here? Don't want to leave you guys out. Can you hear me over here? Can you hear me online? All right. How is that possible? How is it possible for you to hear, take in, process information, draw reasonable conclusions, and land where you need to land? The very presence of sound is a God gift. Sound is a gift for you. As we unwrap this gift that we have been given this morning, we can better understand the value of a voice. God's heart is for us to hear His voice and then to be His voice. There's our truth for today. Our sermon in a sentence, the golden nugget out of this passage. God's heart is for you to hear His voice and then be His voice. When there is no sound, something is wrong. When that happens up here, you may see the face of panic, the face of confusion. When there is no sound in a life from a spiritual point, from a God connection, there's a problem. We're going to discover a bit where the problem lies and what can be done about it and what is being done about it. Mark 7, verse 31 to 37 is our text. The title of our study this morning is "The Sound of Silence, No More." The sound of silence, that phrase may resonate with you. For many of us, it takes us back almost 60 years to a song that rocketed the team of Simon and Garfunkel to the top of the charts and worldwide popularity. Their tune is a catchy one. The words quickly burn a spot into your memory. I just happen to have some of those lyrics for your benefit this morning. Starts off with these words: "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. In restless dreams, I walked alone, and I touched the sound of silence." Goes on throughout the song, "And in the naked light I saw people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. Sound is a gift from God. Clear sound is God's gift for us." There's a lot of noise out there in the world, and there's a lot of noise competing for attention in your life. "Hello, darkness, my old friend," is now a very popular meme to humorously express despair. Is despair and discouragement, disappointment, humorous in your life? I mean, it can be funny in somebody else's life, right? But in our life, not so much. Simon and Garfunkel's song, if you're familiar with it at all, is rooted in the despair of a nation that has been stunned and silenced by the assassination of the president. The Sound of Silence has a dark overtone to it. Not knocking the song, that's what it was birthed out of. It's what captured the songwriter's thoughts, and it's what captured the thoughts of those listening to the song. Again, not much humorous in despair. And there's lots of despair, lots of division, discouragement in our world today, and that may be you right now. Let me open up the window to a ray of hope. Your empty, whatever it is today, can be filled. Oh, today we need the sound of silence, overtaken by the ring of the king. As we look and listen to our story today, hear the voice, hear the good news. The setting is unwrapped for us in verse 31. Jesus went out from the region of Tyre, came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. That may sound boring in first pass. Just a bunch of locations, a bunch of cities, a bunch of old dirt from the past that has no connection to my life today. I would suggest just the opposite is true. What do we learn as we bring the map of time and lay it over these words? Jesus is on the move, staying away from the city of Jerusalem, staying away from the city of David, to take time for those who need and want his time. And that may be you today. I hope it's us today. But see the Lord in all this as he moved. As we learned last week, he is hunted by Herod Antipas. He is harassed by the Pharisees, the false shepherds, religiously, of the people of Israel. They want to eliminate Jesus, no doubt about it. Already plotting his murder. So Jesus stays away from Jerusalem. Is he afraid? Is he scared? I better go hide in the shadows and figure this thing out. Maybe I better not rock the boat. He is moving through this area that we've just read about in verse 31 for a reason: to control the timing of his death. Jesus came to die. And he will die on his terms and in his timing. It's not yet time. What time is he going to die? He's going to die in the city of David on the Passover as the Passover lamb. There is only one day that can happen. And nothing is going to stop Jesus' time. Hey, it's no fluke that Jesus dies, is buried, and is resurrected on Easter. It's not just some coincidence or cooperation with the Easter Bunny. If you are wondering what Christianity is all about, if you're wondering what Jesus is all about, look at the life of Jesus, read through the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. Notice how specifically Jesus fulfills everything perfectly in perfect time. There is a reason for it. There's great encouragement for us today as we come and we think about the challenges in our own life. God's got this. And God has things under control. He is controlling the time of his death. He is taking this time to instruct and develop intimacy within the 12 apostles. And as we saw last week, he's taking this time to evangelize the Gentiles. Remember, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And here we find the encouragement that the gospel and the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the peace of Christ is available to everyone. That means everybody in this room and everybody listening in to me today. In this section of scripture that goes from about chapter 7 through chapter 8 into chapter 9, we have the withdrawal section, as we talked about last week. It will go between 6 and 8 months. Jesus covers about 120 miles. It is very intense, very action-packed. He moves deeper into foreign soil for these reasons. And here we are within the region of Decapolis, verse 31. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Decapolis. Decapolis. Deca means 10. Polis, cities, like Minneapolis, a city. It is a region of 10 cities, and we've been here before. In fact, we've been here just a couple chapters earlier. If you come back to chapter 5 with me, in verse 1, they came to the other side of the sea. We have the Gadarene demoniac. In verse 10, the demons implore Jesus. In verse 17, after the demons are exorcised, the crowd of the area began to implore Jesus to leave their region. They ask, beg, somewhat demand Jesus to leave the region. Verse 18, the demon released man implores Jesus that he might go with him, and Jesus said, no, stay here. And release man, verse 20, went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. And here we are back in the same region again. How's it gone? What's been the result of this man staying in this region? Well, here we see a little bit about it. There's the setting. Now here's the story. The story of a silent man, physically and likely spiritually. This story will dissect into three chapters. Here's chapter 1 in verse 32, a time where someone could not speak, a time when the man could not speak. Verse 32, they brought to Jesus one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored Jesus to what? Leave town? We don't want you around here? No. They implore him to come and lay hands on this man. The focus today is on a man alongside of Jesus Christ, who is always the key figure in the story. The focus is on a man that right now he cannot speak. And Jesus takes the time for one who has nothing but time for fear and frustration. The man is speechless, he's soundless. He cannot take in sound and process it, and he has great difficulty expressing himself. He lives within this deafening sound of silence. Whatever is in his mind is locked in his mind. His thoughts are locked in a soundproof mind. That must have been very discouraging. And perhaps you can resonate in some form, some fashion with this man this morning. And apparently, no one can help him. You ever feel that frustration? Like you're painted into a corner and you don't see any way out of that corner. The man is speechless, soundless, exceedingly challenged. But he's not alone. There is a supporting cast in this story. And they bring this man. Must have been some kind of friend relationship, some kind of association. They bring him to Jesus. Notice their initiative. Jesus doesn't go to them, they go to Jesus. They take the initiative, they make the connections needed, and they speak for someone who cannot speak for himself. We are reminded of some very, very key truths and targets for us this morning. Best friends want their friends to be the friends of Jesus. Friends bring their friends to Jesus, and Jesus to their friends. We're entering a new chapter in 2020. Who knows what is going to come down the pike this week? Theoretically, school is starting. Maybe you're going back to work. I don't know all those details, but life is going to happen. And this is a good shot in the arm, a reminder that in the freshness of a new moment, friends bring their friends to Jesus, and Jesus to their friends. And we have a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful message. Hey, the plate, the table has been set for us in this world. As all the safety and security has been knocked out of the way, and people are hungry for a message that gives them hope. We are reminded that people, not so much programs, bring people to Jesus. People, not so much personalities, people, not so much performances, bring people to Jesus. And most of our evangelistic work is done outside the four walls of this building. In the sphere of influence that God gives every one of us, how can we grow and develop and strengthen this area? How can we be like these friends who brought this physically challenged man to Jesus? Let me share several thoughts with you. Number one, widen your circle of without Christ friends. Kind of hard to bring anybody to Christ if you don't know anybody, right? This passage calls us to move out of these walls. At the same time, it calls us to move in. And the balance here. For some of us, we need to move into the family of God. Moving into the family of God starts with receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died for your sins. He did what you cannot do. He was the perfect Passover lamb. He kind of set the plate, but you've got to take the plate, receive the plate. Moving into the family of God starts with us saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I receive that gift of salvation. And in that moment of salvation, God gives you a number of wonderful things that we can't unwrap all today, but he gives us the presence of his Spirit. He also gives us the body of Christ, the family of God, the local church. And he calls us to be plugged into a local body where we can grow and be strengthened and nurtured and also give out to others. So the scriptures are calling us to move into the body of Christ by salvation and local church activity. They're also calling us to move out into our world with the truth of the gospel. Widen your circle of without Christ friends. Number two, pray intentionally for faces. Not just nebulous, Lord, bring people to Christ. May people come to you, but pray intentionally, specifically for specific faces. Your neighbors, your coworkers, the boss you don't like. Imagine what it would be like if he came to Christ. Got fired up for God. We'd have to find something else to complain about. We'd have someone else to pray with and to pray for others with. Pray intentionally for faces to meet Jesus. Number three, let's remember that our responsibility is to share the entire story of Jesus, chapter by chapter, moment by moment. Evangelism, Christianity isn't some sniper approach to life. Yeah, you know, I've gone to concerts and ball games where they have this t-shirt cannon. Those things are pretty cool. I thought those would be fun in church. And sometimes I think we have this idea, let's load up a bunch of tracks and we'll drive through a community really fast and boom, 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 boom. Oh, we've done our job. God uses those moments and can use those unique divine appointments. But what we see in Scripture, what we see in this passage is the relationship, the connection, the intentional relationships that build. And I'm reminded, and we all need to be reminded, that we essentially have to win the right to be heard when it comes to spiritual matters. And we are called to be both a telescope and a microscope in those intentional relationships. A telescope brings something that is far in close. It brings the far near. The microscope illuminates what is seemingly small. And we get to see the beauty of the details and the vastness of it. And that is our privilege as a follower of Jesus. That as we interact and converse with people, to bring the God of the universe into play in their life and help them see that Jesus is interested in their life, as we see in this passage, and help them to see the beauty of every little facet of him. Widen your circle of without Christ friends. Pray specifically for faces to meet Jesus. Share the entire story chapter by chapter as a friend. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim Christ. And Romans 10:9-10, number four, open your mouth and confess Jesus as Lord. It starts there, and have you done that today? Confessed. Agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he rose from the dead, that he's your Lord and Savior. There's salvation. There's where it begins. But we're to open our mouth and confess Jesus as Lord to our friends. So as you go back to school, as you go back to work, as you go back into your neighborhoods, there's our marching orders. There was a time when this man could not speak. His friends implore Jesus to do something about it. In verse 32 through 35, we see our second chapter. There's a time where this man can speak, now speaks. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself, and he... Are you ready for something weird? I mean, last week, that was a little weird. Jesus called a lady a dog. the best thing she could ever been called. And you go and listen to that. Now, he took the man aside. He put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue, and our English translations imply, with the saliva. A time when he could not speak. Jesus will not embarrass anyone for a public show. Remember that as you flip through the TV channels and you watch guys putting on a show. That's not Jesus. There is a very private moment here with a very personal touch. Why private? Remember what's going on. The crowd wants to crown Jesus as king of their comforts. Eventually, they're going to give Jesus a crown of thorns. And it reminds us all that a mistaken identity when it comes to Jesus is lethal. As we watch all these activities of Christ in the Gospel of Mark, we find healing after healing after healing physically. Why the physical healings? It's not a show. He heals bodies to demonstrate that he can deliver on his promise to forgive sins. It's what it's really all about. Now here he does it, and we've seen him do it, all kinds of unique details across the board. And here we got fingers, we got ears, we got tongues, we got spit. I think it's the only time in Scripture. You parents are going to have fun with your kids at home this week. I just teach the text. It seems weird, but it's not without meaning. Now, who is Jesus interacting with here? Someone who has difficulty speaking, difficulty hearing. So Jesus, what good does it do for Jesus to look at the guy and say, would you like to be healed? I'm going to heal you. There would be a disconnect, right? So he takes him aside, I think in some sort of sign language approach. Ears, I know that's the problem. Tongue, I know that's the problem. I'm going to do something about your problem. The efforts that Jesus makes to communicate with us is so encouraging. We can milk this passage a little more. Jesus took aside the man from the crowd by himself. He did all these things. Notice four activities of Jesus right here. In verse 33 and 34. And I'm going to rearrange the order just slightly. He looked up to heaven. He touched the man. He sighed. And then he spoke. What can we learn about those four actions of Christ? He looked up to heaven. Jesus models for us prayerful dependence on the Father. We are nothing without God. We will accomplish nothing without the blessing of God. Number two, he touched the man, took him off to the side, away from the crowd. This isn't going to be a show. We're going to get very personal, very intimate here. And he physically touched him in a way that I'm like, ooh, you're not going to see me doing that at the doors. Jesus reminds us all we cannot love and influence others from a distance. Kind of that t-shirt cannon approach. I just kind of keep ratcheting up the distance. And no touch, no contact, no interaction. We cannot love people and influence others to Christ from a distance. Sighing. He sighed and he said to him, it's an Aramaic word, and they translate it for us, be opened. In the sighing, Jesus teaches us an essential compassion for a broken and hurting world. The people of God could stand a little less anger and a little more anguish as we look at this crazy world. We could use a little less fear and a few more tears as we observe what is happening around us. And then remember this. In speaking, Jesus uses words. Sound the intelligent communication of thought. And he leaves no doubt that his words are enough. And the very person of Jesus is enough for any problem any one of us are facing or burden that we're carrying. Jesus is enough. And what is empty for you today can be filled. Jesus said, be open. In verse 35, look at what happened. His ears were open. The impediment of his tongue was removed. He began to speak plainly. Let's slow it down just a little bit. Look at that word, the phrase, the impediment of his tongue was removed. Absolutely, literally, in the language of the New Testament, the Greek language, this is what it meant. The chain of his tongue was broken. The chain of his tongue was broken. That's what Jesus does when you come to him in repentance. And that's the power of Jesus active in your life. He breaks the power of sin. The man began to speak plainly. That's really bland for an English translation. I mean, I'm embarrassed to be an English speaker at the moment. But it's easier than any other language. But here's what it meant. Here's what it means. We'll strengthen our English understanding. Speaking plainly is the word that we bring into our English language as orthodontics. The brace doctor. The dentist who wraps that metal around your mouth to straighten your teeth. That's the thought that is coming out of this word. He sets the man's speech straight, correctly straight. And I'm reminded, and I will share with you, when Jesus straightens something, it's not crooked anymore. When you embrace the message of the gospel and the messenger of the gospel, you're not crooked anymore. You're in Christ. And that is the message we proclaim. Yes, we still have to work through the process and the challenges of living on this planet, sin-cursed planet. But positionally in Christ, we are crooked no more. And maybe we should notify our emotions as well as our hands and feet of that truth. Well, there was a time this man could not speak. There is a time when he can speak. And now we find there is a time when he does not stop speaking, even when God commands him to. Verse 36. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone. He wasn't, the timing factor is involved here. We've noticed already, every time Jesus tells someone to be quiet, what do they tend to do? Keep talking. I think there's a reason for that. They're ordered not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. Goes over to Colossians 1, 28, 29 again. We proclaim Christ. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. That's what this passage is all about. He has done all things well. This is the sound of silence no more. Those who meet Jesus do not sing the sound of silence. And you and I must not sing the sound of silence anymore. What do we hear? Goodbye, darkness. Hello, friend. The one who friended me, Jesus Christ. God's heart is for us to hear his voice and then to be his voice. His voice brings peace. His voice brings life clarity. His voice brings meaning. And we are to share his voice with others. Well, we're pretty well done. Almost. We're going to wrap it up in just a second. But there's just a tad more. There is something very unique and special about this passage. It's the only time in Scripture. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Last phrase in this chapter. It's a one-time allusion to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 through 6. Talking about the Messiah, talking about the kingdom, the millennium, long, deep subjects, but it's pointing to something ahead. When the broken will be fixed, when the broken will be no more, it reminds us that we are people in waiting for God to do what essentially is already done. I don't need to tell the world, or I don't need to tell God that the world is broken. He already knows that. I don't need to tell others the world is broken. I think we've all got that figured out. And I don't need to come up with a new cure, a new solution. Jesus covered that at the cross. And when he blew the doors off of that grave, he left no doubt. He's the solution for you as well. This whole allusion to Isaiah and to what is to come, I think we could liken that to an ice cream shop. Anybody like ice cream here? Yeah. You go into a really good shop, and the server will say, Jim, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. What do you got? And they'll get this itty-bitty little spoon, and they'll stick it in a bucket, and they'll give me a taste. And I say, well, that's okay. What else you got? And they'll dip in another spoon somewhere else, another spoon somewhere else. They give you samples. Here's a small taste. The best is still to come. When you get that big ice cream cone with an absolutely delicious flavor or two or three. There's more if you want it, and you should. This itty-bitty little passage was just a little sample, just a little bite. There's a lot more here. The best is still to come. There's a lot more for you to enjoy it. Do you want it? Do I want it? A better tomorrow starts with today. Move to the King. If you're watching online, you see the address for our website. I encourage you to contact us with any spiritual questions you have in any way that we can help you. If you're here on site today, there is help available. In this moment in your life, but also for the moments ahead, as we are the body of Christ, and together we encourage and support and we love and we work together as we serve the King. Goodbye, darkness. Hello, friend. Let's sing that about that friend as we close this morning. As our worship team comes, I invite you to stand with us as we close. Let the Spirit of God do a bit of inspection, inventory in your life. A lot of practical steps for us to take in so many ways. What's He calling you to do this next week? The next step in your journey with Jesus on this planet in this time. Let's sing in worship, in invitation, in commitment to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.